My God isn't finished yet. If he did it before, he can do it again. So I'll trust him with what comes next. 'Cause my hindsight says I can count on this. My God isn't finished yet. If he did it before, he can do it again. So I'll trust him with what comes next. For the God I know is known for faithfulness. Yeah, my hindsight says I can trust him with what's next. For the God I know is known for faithfulness.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to our Big Kids Service. I am so excited for you to find out everything that is going to happen today. It's going to be so good. But I do have a question as we get started here. You guys know Miss Suzanne, she tells our Bible story all the time. Well, she's going to be here today to tell our Bible story. But I have a question for you about that. What do you know about Miss Suzanne? Can you think of anything you know about her? Maybe her favorite color, or how old she is, or what she looks like? Do you know the answer to that question? We're gonna see if other people did. Let's check it out.
All right, guys, connect question. This one's tricky, it's very specific, okay? I need you to tell me three things you know about our storyteller, Miss Suzanne. We love Miss Suzanne. She's awesome. Three things.
I can go first this time. So she's just the sweetest lady, I think. She's very caring. I've seen her just care for other people, care for the students well. And also, she's very selfless.
That's true. I would agree with you. Megan, what you got? Three things about Miss Suzanne. What do you know about her?
I think Hope stole mine, but...
Oh, she, no!
She's really thoughtful and very intentional with people. And she loves Jesus a lot. Yeah. And her family is really important.
Those are good. I mean, doesn't sound like Hope stole yours. I feel like you came up with good answers. I would have to say, one of the things I think she has, like, the coolest white hair. I think her hair is so, like, she has the perfect, like, I think it's so great. I don't know, maybe that's weird to say, but she knows her Bible really, really well. Mm-hmm. I feel like when she tells me out the story she's been studying to tell us, she always has like extra above and beyond facts that she's like, oh, and I just love what it said here in this specific verse and all that means. So, and I would say her family is really important to her and people are really important to her. I think all three of us kind of hit on that she cares about people. So.
What did you think? Did you come up with anything that you knew about our storyteller, Miss Suzanne? I have another question. What about me? Do you know anything about me? Do you know how old I am? Do you? I'm 26. How about, do you know what my favorite color is? It's green. My favorite color is green. Can you tell? Oh, one more. Do you know how many brothers and sisters I have? If you said two brothers, you're right. I have two brothers. Well, that's a little bit about me. And that reminds us that, you know, God, he knows everything about us. We might only know a thing or two, or we might not know anything at all, but God knows everything. And we're gonna hear more about that later. But before we do, let's go over our memory verse. This is our second week. Let's say it all together. It says, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting." Psalm 139, 23-24. See, I told you, God knows everything about us. The reason we can ask Him to search us and know our hearts and our thoughts is, well, because He knows. He's God. He knows everything. So we can ask Him for help. We can ask Him to search us and look at our hearts and our thoughts and help us understand. Now, let's hear our story from Miss Suzanne today. But before we do that, let me pray for you. Jesus, thank you that you know all about us. Lord, I pray that during our story today, we would be reminded how awesome you are, how powerful you are, and how great you are through the story of the woman at the well. We pray that you would teach us something new about you today. Lord, would you open our hearts and minds to hear your word? We pray this in your name. Amen.
It's so good to be with you today. I think every time I teach, I tell you this might be my favorite story because I have a lot of stories in the Bible. Remember, they're not stories. They are accounts of what actually happened. But I have a lot of them. But I seriously think this might be my favorite, or at least way at the top of the list. We're going to be in the book of John today. That's the fourth book of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we're going to be in the fourth chapter. We'll actually start in verse 7. So if you would like to run get your Bibles, or if you already have them there, open to the book of John, chapter 4, and we'll be ready to go. I'm going to pray for us. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the message that you will bring to each of our hearts. Thank you, Father, that you can speak to us through your Holy Spirit. And we praise you, Lord, for the Bible verse that we are studying right now, Psalm 139, that says you can search our hearts. Father, what a blessing that is to us, that you know us that well. Amen. Well, in John chapter 4, we have the story of Jesus encountering the woman at the well. And so we have the two pictures of them here. And throughout the story, I'll put up words that kind of define who they are, and then that will help you keep track with the story. In the beginning of John chapter 4, Jesus and his disciples are traveling from Judea up to Galilee. And if you look at the map that you're going to see on the screen right now, you will see that there were three routes to get from Judea to Galilee. One would be clear to your left, which would be along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. One would be to your right, which would be along the bank of the Jordan River. And one would be almost straight up through the middle. But there was one problem with going straight up through the middle. They had to pass through Samaria. And the Jews and the Samaritans were arch enemies. They disagreed on where they should worship, but actually the real disagreement came because, for those of you who know a little bit about time and history, in 722 BC, the Assyrians captured the Israelites and took them back to their land, but they didn't keep them all together. They spread them out into all the territories that they managed and had control of. So the Jewish people weren't all together, and thus a Jewish man would marry a woman from another culture, and a Jewish woman would marry a man from another culture. And so kind of a new group of people began to develop called Samaritans, but they were basically half Jewish. In 586 BC, the Babylonians captured Israel again. So that would have been 136 years later. And they took all the Israelites back to Babylon, but they kept them all together. They had a different philosophy. They were like, we're going to teach them to be Babylonians. And so all the Jewish people stayed together. So Jewish men married Jewish women and vice versa. And so years later, when different kings took over and they were all released back to their homeland, the Jews that had been in Babylon felt they were pure. And the Jews that had been captured by Assyria, they were looked upon to be not pure. So there's this ongoing hatred and argument. And boys and girls, that is not just for Bible days. You could find this very same scenario many places in the world today, and even in our country between families. So now we're going to get into the gist of the story. Jesus and his disciples were traveling from Judea to Galilee, and they went up through the middle, through Samaria. It doesn't say what the disciples said, but I can only imagine they were thinking, Lord, what are you doing? We don't ever go this way. But boys and girls, I'm sure he was so determined. He just took off and led, and they followed. They had been asked to follow him, remember? And it's the same with us. He leads, we follow. We don't always understand what he's doing. In fact, sometimes we're sure he doesn't know what he's doing, but he does. So they followed. They went up through that area. It was dry. It was dusty. They got to the town, and outside the town was a well. And Jesus sat down, and you'll see the well there on the screen also. And when he sat down, a woman came to get water. Now, you have to understand, a few verses early in chapter 4, it says that it was the sixth hour. So that was around noon. No women came to the well at the sixth hour. It was hot. It was a long way back to take your pails, buckets of water. And so almost all women came early in the morning when it was cool, and at the end of the afternoon toward evening when it was cool. And this woman knew that she was not welcome with all the other women in the town. And those women, if she came to the well when they did, they would not only not speak to her, they would whisper about her under their breath. So it was too uncomfortable. So here she was, at a perfect time to be confronted by God Almighty. So he asked her in verse 7 if he could have a drink. It says in verse 7, there came a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. So as we get started, let's say what we know. We realize that she is a woman. We know she is a Samaritan. We know that Jesus is a man. And we know that he's a Jew. So we'll go on. Next, we are going to be in verses 9 and 10. Therefore, the Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink, since I am a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans, as we already talked about. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is that says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Now, boys and girls, these had to have been very confusing statements to the woman at the well. They sort of feel confusing to us, and we know the end of the story. He is saying that if you knew who was speaking to you, you would know that this is a gift from God, and you would know that he is the giver of living water. And I'm sure she thought, living water? What? How can water be alive? It's hard to know what she was thinking. We'll go on then. She said, had said to him, how are you going to draw water anyway? You don't have anything to draw with. And in verse 13, he said to her, everyone who drinks of this water, meaning the water in the well, will thirst again. And isn't it true? You go to a sporting event, you're the one playing soccer or whatever, you drink almost all of your amount of water early in the game, and you're still thirsty. We will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. What? Water that makes us never be thirsty again, and yet eternal life, meaning living forever. In verse 15, the woman said to him, sir, give me this water so I will not be thirsty, and I won't have to come all this way to draw water. So she's still, of course, trying to wrap her head around these things that he is saying, because they feel very confusing. And the reason they feel very confusing is because he is not speaking in terms of just the way humans speak. He is speaking with the Spirit of God. And so the Spirit of God is not understood until you belong to him. So then they go on to there, and he said to her, go and call your husband to come here. Because remember, men never spoke to women in this culture unless they knew them or were related to them. So he knows something else, but he's also suggesting that she bring her husband and he'll speak to both of them. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said to her, you have correctly said, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one whom you are living with now is not your husband. This you have said truly. So when he said those things, I am sure that she was aghast. I don't know. I don't think she was afraid, because I think when Jesus speaks to you, you so feel the presence of God that it doesn't frighten you. It's just that you know he knows, and it's okay, but you don't understand how he knows. So we know now that she is not currently married. We know that she's been married five times before this. And then we're going to put over here that Jesus is all-knowing. I'd like to stop for a minute and just refer us to our Bible verse that we're talking about, and I'll tie this up at the end, that he is all-knowing. And boys and girls, he's all-knowing about you and me also. If at the beginning of this lesson, I had told you five things about me, three that were true and two that were not true, you might have hazarded a guess and got them right. But Jesus would have known every one of them, because he knows all about me. He knows my past. He knows everything that has happened in my life. Let's go on. Verse 25, the woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming. Remember, I told you these Samaritans have that Jewish heritage. I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called the Christ. And when that one comes, he will declare all things to us. So she is waiting for these answers. And then chapter 4, verse 26, boys and girls, it's not my life verse, but I'm going to tell you it might be my favorite verse in the whole Bible. Because Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Oh, my spirit can hardly contain the power of that and the joy that must have exploded in her heart. So she has made it plain to us that she is waiting for the Messiah. And he has now made it plain to us that he is the Messiah, the long-awaited Savior of the world. Well, anyway, right then, the disciples come back from town. They can't figure out what's going on. They're not sure why he's talking to her. And yet the Bible says they don't ask him any questions. And I think sometimes that's how God doesn't mind that we ask him questions, but I think he's honored when we don't, and we just trust him. So she ran to town. She could not contain it. And boys and girls, when you encounter the Savior and you know it's real, you can't contain it. So she ran back to town, knowing that there were probably many people in the town who avoided her all the time. And she said in verse 29, come see a man who told me all the things that I have done. This is not the Christ, is it? And so do you realize she's willing to say all the things that I have done? I want to tell you that when you know Jesus, he takes away your shame. She's not been willing to say this before. She hides from everybody. She sneaks around, goes to the well at noon. She says out loud, he told me everything I've done. And they know what she's done. And so then all the people have to come see. She's so powerful in her presence. They have to come. And so we go down to the bottom to verse 40. So when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they were asking him to stay with them. Is that amazing? They hated each other until now, but now they see a difference. And he stayed there for 2 days. Verse 41, many more believed because of his word, and they were saying to the woman, it is no longer because of what you have said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this one is indeed the Savior of the world. Hallelujah. And boys and girls, you are, and I are privileged to know that this Jesus is the Savior of the world. Now, during our respond time today, we're going to have some music that says we should praise him, which we should. But there are three ways that you could respond. If you know him and you realize how he knows your heart, you can just openly praise him. Thank you, God, that you know me. If you know him, but you also know that there are some things in your heart that nobody else knows, maybe you told a lie and you've never shared that with anybody. Maybe you weren't honest one day at school, but you never told anybody. Maybe you took something that didn't belong to you because it didn't seem wrong at the time. Do you know that those little things stay in our heart? Even when you belong to him, you can do those things, and they stay in our heart like a little burr or a little bit of pain, and we can't get rid of them, because the only way to get rid of them is to talk about them and get them out. And many times there isn't anybody to talk to. Maybe your parents would be very upset at you. Maybe your sibling would make fun of you, but Jesus can listen. So today, you could talk to him privately during this music time of all the things that you confess to him and you want him to know. And boys and girls, he'll cleanse it and take it away. And then the third thing is if you never have belonged to him because you didn't even know this was a possibility, then during this time, you could pray this prayer. Jesus, I did not know you were the Son of God until today, but now I do. Like the lady at the well, I can see you are the Savior of the world. Your spirit has touched me. God, I'm asking you to come into my heart, take away my sin, and give me the power to live not only on this earth, but forever with you. Amen. And if you do pray that prayer at the end, there's a small amount of information at the bottom of the screen, and you can get information as to how to grow as a new believer in Jesus. Let's praise him.
Creation.
Today's story reminds me of a verse that we can find in 1 John. It says, "This is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in His presence. We know that God is greater than our hearts and He knows everything." Let's hold out our hands and receive our blessing today. May you rest in the peace that God knows you, and may you tell others the good news of Jesus. That could be funnier in the video for them to like, so I could come back with that. Is that prayer awkward? Is that okay? That was pretty close. I don't think that was exactly right.